This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer, and your reader, Mike Luoma. We're going to get into another chapter or two of The Star Seeds of Earth on this episode. Chapters 11 and 12. 12 is pretty short. But we will be checking in with Alibi Jones as he gets out from underneath a Vermont mountain and now must make his way to a spaceport and off-planet without being seen by Solar Alliance authorities. We also get a bit of a flashback this chapter, too, as he looks back at running into his Aunt Anita at the Hornet's Nest. And in the short chapter 12, we check in on Alibi's friends Katie and Kit and see what they're up to. That's coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. Now, I've been talking about my calendars that I've put out. I have four different brand new calendars for 2022 featuring my photographs of Vermont nature, beautiful Vermont, and stoneworks around Vermont and around the country, earthworks as well. You can take a look at the photos that are included and get a little bit more information about each of the calendars at glowinthedarkradio.com/calendars. Well, for those of you who don't want a calendar, but might want to look at the pictures and read the descriptions, I've put all the illustrations together as a full-color ebook. It's a 45-page ebook featuring all these different photographs and these descriptions that I've written up. And it's $9.99 for this full-color, kind of hefty size ebook at Amazon right now. The Ancient World Around Us by Mike Luoma. Photographs and descriptions by yours truly. So that is new this week. There's a new ebook out, $9.99 for The Ancient World Around Us. And those calendars, which of course are print calendars, last a full year. Those are $19.99 or $19.95, I think. And those are available through lulu.com. But again, to get your hands on those, just go to my site. Go to glowinthedarkradio.com or glowinthedarkradio.com/calendars. And we'll get into chapters 11 and 12 of The Star Seeds of Earth next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Hi, I'm JC. My co-host Cindy and I host the Fix It Home Improvement Podcast. We cover projects that every homeowner should know and top-rated products for home and garden. And for fans of Mike, we keep you posted on new smart home systems and products like robot vacuums and robot lawnmowers that seemed like science fiction not too long ago. You can check it out on your favorite podcast app. It's Fix It, F-I-X-I-T, Home Improvement.
Now here's Chapter 11 of The Star Seeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Alibi made his way downstream, descending the wooded mountainside. He soon spotted the road he'd walked from town yesterday, running parallel to the growing river as it continued downhill. Good sign. He decided to continue along the low riverbank instead of climbing up onto the pavement. Less chance of being seen. He didn't know when the safe crews hanging out over the mountain would be stirring. Alibi's thoughts went back to Finder as he walked. Why am I doing this for him, anyway? For Finder? There really isn't anything I'm looking for. Nothing I need Finder to find for me. The more I find out about the starseeds, the less I want to put one in Finder's hands. And something else to consider. What if there isn't anything Finder needs to find for me? Because I actually need to find the starseed for myself. Maybe Finder found me something I didn't know I needed. That made his head hurt, a mental pretzel knotted up by logic. He knew starseeds were rare. As he searched, he learned they were so valuable as to be nearly priceless. Hunting for this one had already led to a couple of encounters he'd rather have avoided, one with a shady treasure hunter and another with a wealthy and powerful collector. Both possessed rather chilling, amoral outlooks. It wasn't a big stretch to imagine either of them as Finder's client. Given all he'd discovered, Alibi didn't want the starseed in their hands either. The Archmage had given him much to consider, along with his gift. No wonder he was getting a headache. Alibi realized he'd better get out of his head and pay more attention to his surroundings. He tuned into the sounds of the stream, gurgling, splashing along beside him. He felt the sunlight streaming down through the treetops, saw its dance of light and shadow play on the ground as he walked. He took a deep breath, inhaling the smell of dirt and growing things that Edward said was simply nature. This is why my aunt wants her arboretum. Create a space close to this in some small way. Have to grab her a plant or something soon. A peace offering. Hard not to relax. It is beautiful up here. But I can't. Gotta remember, I'm being hunted. It had been a while since Alibi had last seen his aunt. They hadn't spoken much recently. Their last discussion hadn't been great. His aunt Anita had recently started construction on her arboretum. He stopped by to see it, expecting a big room or maybe a kind of greenhouse, and instead walked into an enormous cave, where he found his aunt surveying the space. "It's a start," he heard her saying to herself. "Start of what?" Alibi asked as he walked up behind her. She turned. "An arboretum," she said. She gave him a look, semi-exasperated. "An arbor what?" he joked. "I'm sorry, Aunt Anita. I know, you've told me before. I didn't expect this, though. Seems big." "I need the space," she said, "to grow large plants, trees, shrubs, all kinds of growing things." "An arboretum, huh?" Alibi said. "It's really a garden, right? Why not just call it a garden?" "Because it's enclosed," Anita said, and moved on. "I've wanted to do this for a long time," she said. "Or at least thought about doing it, inspired by an old teacher of mine." "Really?" "Von Kilner built one in the project's first asteroid base," Anita said. "I've always wanted my own. If I'm stuck here, I might as well make the most of it." Alibi looked hurt. "What?" Anita asked. "Stuck?" Alibi said. "You know what I mean," she said, and frowned. "This is a pretty big space," Alibi said, changing the subject. "Krish helped me carve it out." "What?" Alibi laughed. "By himself?" "He programmed bots," she said, still frowning. Alibi shifted the subject. "What did you do with all the rock?" "Can't use it for planting, unfortunately. But Krish said there were plentiful raw materials and rare elements in the rock. He also said beyond that, any leftovers would help fill his countermeasure canisters for base defense." Alibi smiled as he shook his head. "Nothing goes to waste, huh?" "Can't waste anything out here," she said. He could hear it in what she was saying, and not saying. Stuck. Out here. "What's the matter?" she asked. "Nothing," he lied. "I just wanted to let you know I'm heading out for a couple of weeks." "You are?" I'm trying to track something down. Oh, she said. I'd heard Finder visited. Is this something for him? Well, Alibi said, sort of. She stared at him. He knew that look of judgment. She was not pleased. You have responsibilities here, Alibi, she said. I know, he said. I won't be gone long. She didn't say anything, but continued to stare at him. He hated that. It always made him say too much. He couldn't keep his mouth shut under her glare. This could be good for us, Alibi insisted. If I find this thing for Finder, he'll owe us. Owe me. She frowned. Alibi, she said, then paused. After a glance down, she looked up eye to eye. I think Finder is just an excuse. An excuse for what? Alibi protested. To run off and leave the hornet's nest, of course, she said. Run away from your responsibilities. But, Alibi said, gathering his thoughts, I'm not running away. I'll be right back. You'll be here. Emily is here. You don't need me. Don't we? Anita smiled. To Alibi, it looked like pity. Maybe you're needed here more than you know. Really? Emily tells me we're seeing new people arriving here, Anita said. Every day. We've been letting some new people in, Alibi said. Ships and crews that have reasons to avoid the Solar Alliance. And we've been replacing people who leave. Lieutenant Brisby? She asked. Never came back from Christmas break on Earth, Alibi said. She nodded. I had a feeling, she said, and sighed. Too much the career safe officer. Thought he was smarter than that. That's one of us, Alibi cracked. To be honest, Aunt Anita, with all the new arrivals, I hadn't thought about losing Brisby too much. You know, Alibi, this used to be a secret base, but we haven't exactly been hiding lately. We're not a covert ops team now, Alibi said. And we're not trying to hide anymore. What's your point? The hornet's nest is changing, Alibi, she said. You know it is. Emily told me you've hired a few people to work security. Well, yeah, Alibi said. But they wanted to stay here and needed work. And with Brisby disappearing, we needed people. When they checked out on background, we gave them jobs to do. Some of them are kinda security, but they also help out loading and unloading in the bays. Anita sighed. Look around, Alibi, she said. Open your eyes, and don't be so thick. He frowned. You're in charge of a growing base, she said. Adventures are fine, but look around you. You need to be here. Your place requires your presence. It's our place, he said. It might be in my name on some dock somewhere, but it doesn't belong only to me. It belongs to all of us. Me, you, Emily, Krish, everybody. That's sweet, Allie, she said. He bristled at the use of his childhood nickname. He would not be manipulated by her now. His frown straightened out, and he turned to leave. Keep an eye on our place, Alibi said. I'll be back. Alibi. He left his aunt's admonition in his name hang in the air as he walked out of her future arboretum. Even if she hates being stuck out there, she shouldn't take it out on me. He and his aunt were clashing on lots of things, more than they used to. Lately, he hadn't felt like confiding in his Aunt Anita very much. Too much friction on everything. Maybe she was pissed I had a reason to leave, and she didn't. Not that I needed to go. He smiled to himself. Everything worked out fine anyway. I don't need to be there all the time. And I've been on several more adventures since, without incident. Alibi's wandering thoughts turned back to his hike down the mountain. I do not want to get caught up here. Alibi stopped and looked for signs of pursuit. He scanned the woods and stared across the river, searching the trees for any sign of movement. Can't tell if I'm near town yet or not. Speaking of telling, His aunt didn't like to think he had these gifts. How am I going to tell her about the Archmage under the mountain. Maybe I can't. Just thinking about it, I can hear her scoff. There are times I wish she was right, that it was only my imagination. But I have to keep my mental doors, my double doors, shut to keep the world closed out. That's not make-believe. Both Krish and I know she's wrong. Of course, Aunt Anita never thinks she's wrong. Working in close proximity these last few months hadn't necessarily brought out the best in any of them. He'd even seen conflicts between Anita and Krish. Aunt Anita and Krish had been colleagues for decades at the project, but each went their own way long ago. Both had their own manner of doing things. Each was accustomed to giving orders, usually unquestioningly obeyed. A bit of friction resulted as they both attempted to settle into new ways as residents of the Hornet's Nest. Then there was his friction with them both. Alibi ran the Hornet's Nest his way, loosely, the way he used to lead his crew. But as much as she talked about his responsibilities, from the second she'd gotten there, his aunt had kind of stepped in and taken over, assumed command, with the emphasis on assumed. And Krish often treated him like he was still a teenager, not the leader of the Hornet's Nest. Still, I miss them. Well, kind of. Alibi laughed to himself. Definitely time to head home. Wish I was there now, instead of nowhere Vermont. There's no starseed here. And the other one, if there is one, is still lost. Back to square one. Alibi turned to look up at the mountain. The three Solar Alliance cruisers above the mountaintop moved around methodically in short paths in the sky above the ridgeline. Crews must have woken up. Looks like they're scanning for some sign of me on or within the mountain. How did they find out I was here? He walked on, staying with the river and off the road, in case the Solar Alliance had troops on the ground as well. That worked until the road and river intersected at an old covered wooden bridge. Alibi paused at the edge of the tree cover. The woods faded back from the riverside. He surveyed the scene and considered his next steps. He'd have to step out into the open and cross the road, the bridge, or the river. The good news? He remembered this bridge and where it was. He was only a couple of miles from the small town near the base of the mountain. Wasn't much of a town. Old meeting house, small park, one everything store with a combo cafe and transport hub. Dunstan's Gore? Maybe. Not sure I remembered that name right. Not many people there when I came through yesterday. Alibi stopped. He heard something above the babbling of the river beside him. Voices. Chapter 12. Hello, Kit, Katie said.
Katie?
Kit answered over the comm. His location was masked. Are you there? Have you gone yet?
No, Kit said.
You promised your brother, she said. You promised Kat.
I know that.
What do you tell your father? Does Rakar know you delay?
Yes. No. Not entirely.
You are such an idiot, Kit, Katie said.
You are only one of two I would allow to speak with me this way, Kit said.
You know I'm telling the truth. You're either still blaming Alibi for your life mate's death, which was never Alibi's fault, or you feel so embarrassed for holding a grudge against him for something he didn't do that you feel you can't go see him. Either way, you are an idiot.
I am going there soon, Kit said. To the Hornet's Nest.
Good.
What are you doing? Or should I ask?
I am working, she said.
So, the new, job, It is working out for you.
Yeah, she said. Officially, I'm a bounty hunter. Dead or alive. Usually they want them alive. And I've been doing that, mostly. But I've had a couple of big ones of the other kind, too.
They pay well?
Kit asked. When they pay, she said. You're not dealing with the most honest beings in this line of work.
I see. Where are you now?
On my way to the planet Fortuna, Katie said. New home for some religious group. Another one of those sort of monolithic settlements we've been seeing lately. Boring. The leader there has a hit he wants done. Gotta love that. A religious guy wants someone taken out. Must not have much of a budget if he's talking to me.
Don't be so hard on yourself, Katie,
Kit said. Just the truth, Kit, once again. I'll tell it to myself as fast as anyone else, she said, and laughed. I'm still building my reputation. Can't charge too much yet.
Well, Kit said. Good luck, Katie.
Thanks, Kit, she said. But you know why I'm calling.
Yes, Kit said. He purred a sigh. I will go to the hornet's nest soon.
For Cat, Katie said. You promised.
I know.
Thank you, Kit, she said. Until next time?
Yes,
Kit said.
Thank you for calling.
Katie out, she said, closing the connection. She'd taken on the role of being Kit's goad to get him to the hornet's nest. The way she saw it, if your dying brother makes you promise him something, you have to follow through on it. The fact that Kit had been a stubborn idiot about the whole thing just made her job easier. Now, to see about this other job. Katie checked the bridge controls and readied her ship for the transpace jump. Then, she looked up her itinerary again. She still had a few hours before she had to be on the ground on Fortuna to meet this guy who called himself, what was it? The Star? Oh yeah, the Light. Wonder who he wants dead. That was Chapter 12, and we heard Chapter 11 as well, of The Star Seeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Well, Alibi was hearing voices when we left him. We'll find out who's talking next episode. And even though Kit promised his dying brother, Cat, he'd return to the hornet's nest, he has not. So we'll discover how Kit handles his choices as the novel unfolds. But that's where we stand after these two chapters. Lucky Chapter 13 on the way next time. A reminder, there is a new ebook, a full-color ebook featuring my photographs and descriptions. The Ancient World Around Us for $9.99 at Amazon. And those are the images from my calendars. I have four brand new calendars, and you can check out those at glowinthedarkradio.com/calendars. That is all for this episode. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation is copyright 2021 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Accompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.